Good morning, disciples of the Word. To begin to modify Father Joey's cheerful description of my and Bishop Dutta's concise preaching style, this will be a slightly elongated, concise sermon this morning. In the last few months, I have heard variations of conversations easily half a dozen times. And people have said, I love our church. I love our worship. I love our sermons. I love my church family. But, I am personally uncomfortable trying to tell other people about my faith and my church. I wish I was more at ease answering some of those questions. And just recently, a parishioner right here had mentioned and told me that they loved being part of St. Barnabas Anglican Church, but they felt, and I scribbled this on a napkin, slightly awkward and often a little tongue-tied with sharing their faith with others. Well, we are in stewardship season, and stewardship is about the sharing of time, talent, and treasure. And I'd like to focus today on your time and your talent as heralds of the good news. Therefore, I was going to preach this morning about evangelism, but that word scares people. So the sermon, I will be talking about evangelizing, you know, talking, discussing, chatting, well, about evangelism, really. There was a comedian at one time whose name was Joan Rivers, and she would always begin with, "Can we talk?" So this morning, can we talk? I'd like to look at our scriptures first for guidance. In the Old Testament lesson that we heard this morning, it is from Exodus chapter 22, and verse 21 says, "You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt." Well, my guess is that each of you, each of us, is on a spiritual journey. I certainly am. And therefore, we are sojourners in the earthly part of our life. A sojourner is defined as a person who resides temporarily in a place. In Hebrew, the word is shotab, and shotab is translated as sojourner. Toshab refers to living in a place where he or she is but a transitory resident, a lodger, an immigrant, or perhaps even a stranger. So greetings, fellow Toshabs. Now, you and I are actually, hopefully, residents of the kingdom of heaven. But we are sojourning down here for a while. In other words, we as Christians do know where we belong, whose we are, where we are going, and we do not know that we want others to share our joy, our love, and our contentment. So we sojourn here. The operative word of what I just said was share. In fact, as Christians, we are supposed to share our faith walk, sharing what is so very important and hopeful and reassuring to us. And sharing also tells a lot about us when we do it. There are untold numbers of unchurched sojourners out there, and we need to show them the way home. Our psalm this morning prepares us, I think, to be godly folks who can then be examples, and we all learn from examples, the good examples, in our life at least. Our psalm was Psalm 1, and it had two thoughts I would like to share with you. Verse 3 of that psalm said, "When we meditate, concentrate on the Lord, we shall be like a tree planted by the waterside, and that will bring forth fruit in due season by the water." By the water that nourishes, and by drinking in the word of the Lord, we can draw strength and nourishment. And it goes on to say, we will then bring forth fruit by bringing for along another of the sojourning folks. We don't necessarily know where they are going except to the salvation of Jesus the Christ. But here's the rub. We need to communicate with them. From our epistle, which is in 1 Thessalonians this morning, this is sort of a how-to message. It begins, nor did we, and the we is Paul, Silas, and Timothy, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle amongst you, like a nourishing mother taking care of her own children. When we share with others about our faith, about our Christian love, we are careful, hopefully, not to clobber them with scripture or theology. We are to be, in St. Paul's words, gentle. Verse 8 of that says, so being affectionately desirous, which means hopeful, so being hopeful for you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. People need to know that we care about them, plain and simple, and that they are very dear to us, whether we know them or not. Now, as Christians, we will definitely be challenged and tested. It simply goes with the territory. And Jesus gave us two behavior examples in our gospel today. Last week's gospel, if you remember, was Jesus telling the Sadducees, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. Well, pardon me. And then it says the Sadducees were stumped. They did not know what to say. And our gospel this morning had said, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. If you don't know the difference between that, the Pharisees were people who studied. They were intellectual, and they believed in an afterlife in heaven. The Sadducees were intellectuals who did not believe in an afterlife, which is what made them sad, you see. Forgive me. But it says that when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together like enemies getting ready, plotting to attack someone. Then it goes on and says, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, and it says in the scripture, to test him. And they said, teacher, which is the great commandment? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You hear that here every week in the beginning of our prayers in worship. And Jesus was quoting from scripture, from Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and in our worship Sunday, it was called the summary of the law. And then Jesus then does a reversal by questioning their use of scripture. And he asked, well, who do you think the Christ, the Messiah, is? And they stumbled and fumbled and could not answer. And it says they could not answer well, and they gave up trying to trap him. You see, knowing scripture is powerful for our personal learning, and sometimes can be powerful for quieting a cynic or a skeptic or a doubter. Now, you don't have to quote exact chapter and verse, but you do need to know the story. That is why we emphasize Bible study with our children, adult Sunday school classes, home Bible study groups, and also supporting youth organizations like Young Life. Now, I care about all of you. Some of you are in my approximate age bracket. But I don't always remember your name. But I care about you. However, I truly get filled with emotion when I see the children. They have to be our collective focus. It is the young families that form the heartbeat of this or any Christian family. Psalm 14, verse 26 says, "He who reverences the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children, it will be a refuge." Our children need a refuge. You see, the world is filled with evil, darkness, and chaos. We can and must be a place of refuge. And this will be noticed by other people out there. So why do we do this evangelizing? Last week, we went to our granddaughter's choral concert. One of the selections was a Swedish folk song entitled, "Who Can Sail Without the Wind?" I will spare you my singing right now, and certainly my singing in Swedish. But there should have been a collective sigh right there. It was beautiful, and it sounded like angels were singing to us. And the first stanza went, "Who can sail without the wind? Who can row without oars?" We all know that the wind, the ruach, is the breath of God, first heard at Pentecost. And hopefully in our hearts and souls, we can feel that ruach. So we need to let other people know about this spiritual wind, the ruach of God. Plus, we need to be the oars, thrusting, propelling us, leading discussions, giving direction, power, and knowledge, always forward, forward, forward. In personal evangelizing, I know that we can sometimes feel nervous and anxious and uneasy, especially when we think that we need to be theologians or scholars. Here's the secret. We don't. With the possible exception of Paul and Luke, the apostles were just plain folks, just like you and I. Folks like us, they told the story as directed by the Holy Spirit. This nervousness can happen to us also when we forget about the significant role of Christian love in our own religious life discussions. Without love and a loving nature, we might see people as objects that need to conform rather than as children of God who simply need to come home. We need to talk with neighbors, friends, family, strangers gently and good-naturedly. And we just need to be ourselves, not Christian characters or caricatures. Oscar Wilde once wrote, "Be yourself. Everyone else is taken." By the way, another secret is that many times, "I don't know" can be a good, honest answer. There should be also a sense of importance and even urgency in wanting other people to know about the hope, the peace, and the security of Christianity. This is the bridge verse from the hymn, "Just As I Am." "I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come desperate to be rescued, I come empty to be filled, I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb, and I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am." Now, you're not glad that that wasn't in Swedish? There is, for me, a growing awareness of chaos and disorder and often evil in the world that's out there. And sometimes even some chaos and disorder in here for many of us in our hearts as we react. Riots in the streets, protests on college campuses, growing anti-Semitism, steep decline in cultural values, war in Europe, war in Israel. Satan is out there working awfully hard. So must we. And the time to share our faith is always now. Whenever Audie and I go out to eat, I always ask our server, when we ask a blessing on the food, is there anything I can pray for you or your family? And I will tell you, we have about a 99% success rate. I had an appointment on Friday with a surgeon, a doctor at the hospital. And at the end, I said, can we pray for you? And he and the medical assistant both said, please. And so we prayed with them. That's a form of evangelism. Many years ago, when I was a business executive, I worked in Lower Manhattan, just across from the World Trade Center towers. A couple of times a week, I would get a sandwich from a local deli, and I would sit on the steps of St. Paul's Chapel, which later would sadly become a triage center after the terrorist attacks. But I would sit on the steps with other people, listening to the noonday chamber music coming from inside the chapel. My pastrami sandwich was sadly excluded from the church. But as I sat there eating and listening to the chamber music, I would read and think about a tombstone that was directly opposite the entrance steps. And ironically, it was also directly in line with the World Trade Center towers. But on that tombstone, it said, stop and see as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you shall be. Prepare yourself to follow me. And one day, as I sat there, someone had attached a printed sign to the tombstone, and it read, to follow you, I'll not be sent until I know which way you went. Beloved, the time to share our faith is always now. Many people need to hear the good news of salvation now. As some of you know, I was a prison chaplain at a maximum security prison in Florida for 2 years. And I was a military chaplain for 5 years. In the prison, my work was with some, shall I say, pretty hardened inmates, not the most gentle of souls. But they were there with me because they were looking for some quiet in their souls and some awareness of a sense of peace. And they needed and wanted to hear the gospel message. As a military chaplain, I counseled with primarily combat veterans that needed to process their experiences, their emotions, their regrets, and often their unfulfilled aspirations. People have commented that these types of counseling must have been hard. They were, but they were actually an unbelievable blessing to me. My counseling was probably 80% listening and just having a gentle, empathetic, and focused conversation. The key for any of us is to develop a mutual level of trust and caring, and to try to direct people to be looking forward and up. I also tried in those sessions to be engaging or understanding, and where appropriate, lighthearted. Often, whether a long-term inmate or a troubled veteran in conversation, they like to occasionally smile. Don't we all? All right, everyone right now, give me one big Christian smile. I don't know how it felt on your side. It was wonderful up here. Will Rogers once wrote, humor is a rubber sword. It allows you to make a point without drawing blood. My friends, evangelizing is not nuclear physics. You just need to, to be you, the best you, but just you. I like you. looking around, and I would want to talk with any of you about your faith and your faith journey. Here is some advice that I have listened to over the years. One is from Christian writer John MacArthur, and he wrote, "The preacher or evangelizer is not a chef. He's a waiter. God doesn't want you to make the meal. He just wants you to deliver it to the table without messing it up. That's all." There was a 15th century priest, Francis de Sales, and he wrote, "The test of a preacher is that his congregation goes away saying not, 'What a lovely sermon,' but 'I've decided to do something.'" And J.I. Packer, a favorite theologian of Deacon Jeff, said, "We complain today that many ministers do not know how to preach, but it is not equally true that our congregations do not know how to hear." Someone just said, "What did he say?" And the other gifted saint, Winston Churchill, wrote, "Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. It is also what it takes to sit down and listen." How do we love our neighbors here, near, and those far away? Well, how do we go out to others? What we, you and I, would like non-believing, unchurched Noonanites, Peachtree Cityites, Sharps Burgundians, Griffinites, sounds like the Old Testament, Hittites, Perizzites, and Amorites, doesn't it? People have also said to me, "I do not feel qualified to tell people about my church work." Well, do you have a heart? Do you have a mind? Do you have a mouth? Do you know your own story? Do you know the story of the gospel? That should be 5 yeses, by the way. The time to share our faith is always now. In your mind, you can ponder and consider miracles that take place here among you. The miracle that is St. Barnabas Anglican Church, for example. Some of us who have had healings are miracles. Sitting with Audrey is John and Debbie Marinello, friends from South Florida, former parishioners. And John was on the vestry and was my senior warden in Florida. And after 20 years, he's still my friend. That is a miracle. In your heart, you can feel and treasure the love that Jesus has for you and for others with your mouth. You can tell folks about the love that you feel, the miracles that you have witnessed, the hope that has come with the ultimate sacrifice of the Creator of His Son, told gently and with love. Those are some fundamental thoughts, like, "I love my church family. I love how we worship together in love. I feel peace, well-being, hope, and protected in my faith." All right, are you ready to go? Please fasten your seatbelts, put your tray tables in the upright position, because we're off. One more bona fide, by the way. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, "And giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light." You all just graduated from the Anglican Technical College with the prerequisites necessary for evangelism and evangelizing. When you have read a good book, watched a good TV show or a movie, enjoyed a new Italian restaurant, you share that willingly. How about sharing your Christian faith and your love? You see, you and I should be bursting with a yearning to share our joy. The American Anglican Council has a 6-week, I believe it's like for Saturday morning, series called Rediscovering Evangelism. And it is designed to lower apprehension and increase confidence in personal evangelism that our churches or our small groups might want to use. In the meantime, I use this a number of years ago with one of our churches when I did some Saturday morning retreats. And I hope the title does not offend you. If it does, Father Joey will be there to comfort you. But I called it Seven Ways to Share the Gospel Without Being a Jerk. Number one, kindness goes a long way. When we share the faith, we need to make sure that we are respectful and kind. I know plenty of people who have turned away from Christianity, even though they might think it's true because church people were jerks, were unkind in their comments about other people. Well, I do not see any jerks here. And you do not need to clobber people with the scriptures. The Bible is a book of love, direction, and salvation. It is not a picketball racket to be wielded or thrust. Number two, honesty shows and gains respect. Be you. Don't be a holy character. Be yourself. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know, but expand on that. I don't know, but I'll try to find out. And then follow up. Too many of Christians, I'm afraid, are afraid to be honest. They fear that honesty will lose people's respect. It doesn't. The truth is that honesty often gains respect. Number three, ordinary conversations matter most. You don't necessarily need a formula or a method or a program to share your faith. You do need to have ordinary, honest, kind, and respectful conversations about your faith. People might ask you, you might ask a person, would you like to hear about my church? Would you like to hear about my faith walk and why you think I'm joyful? Assuming they have said that. Remember that religious conversations are hard for people, especially for unchurched people. To have serious conversations with some people, you first need to develop that level of trust. And do not worry, it will come. Number four, you can only share what you know, so take advantage of reading the Bible, attending Bible studies, small group gatherings, and listen to the sermons. You have two wonderful preachers here in Father Joey and Deacon Jeff. Study the faith in different ways, and you will discover that you too will have much to say about God and the gospel. And yourself, you may be surprised. Number five, share the actual gospel. Talking about hell, morality, or the church are important. But the message of the gospel, that which is of first importance, is that Jesus loves you, Jesus cares about you, and Jesus died on the cross to save you. By the way, you don't need to convince people that they are sinners. They know. Start with Jesus, and you might be surprised how many people will openly acknowledge that they are sinners and that they would like to turn in a different direction. And my friends, you know the way. Here's a tough one. Don't talk too much. Listen. Whenever I share my faith, there is always a lot that I want to say, but throw out the agenda and give up on trying to get in all you want to say. Trust God, enjoy the conversation, and listen. Folks don't need to know about your family events, your narrative, that you root for the University of Nebraska. No, that one's okay. Too much information, TMI, about you is not what they want to hear if they're talking about faith and the church. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. As a prison, military, and then parish counselor, after developing a level of trust, I would simply ask, please tell me your story. And then I would listen. That is evangelism. And number seven, play the long game, persevere, have patience. Become a Christian can take a long time. Give folks some space. Only God can see what someone really needs. And there is a lot to learn about Christianity. We should expect people to take time to ask questions, to express doubts. All learning takes time. As you share your faith, trust God to save your friends, your spouse, your neighbors, your family in His timing. In sharing the faith, you may often fail. It happens. Do not worry about it. You are not in control. Beloved, just be your authentic best. I am truly encouraged by what I see here in the Anglican community and in all of you. I look around and I see witnesses to love, ambassadors of kindness, envoys of the kingdom, and heralds of the good news of Jesus the Christ. I see a gifted cluster of Christians, and that is simply irresistible. Plus, God has promised to be with us as we spread the word. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous backhand." Just last Monday, Audie found a prayer in a book that I had written for a Crucio weekend 25 years ago when I was a priest in a different denomination. This prayer evidently has circulated and was made into bookmarks. This one came to us from a friend who received it in Ocala, and it came to her from Wisconsin, I believe. It pertains, I think, to our individual evangelizing, and let me read it to you. "Dear Heavenly Father, there are many who must be stronger, yet the voice said, 'I called you.' There are many who must see more clearly, yet the voice said, 'I called you.' There are many who must be more holy, yet the voice said, 'I called you.' There are many who must sing or speak more sweetly, yet the voice said, 'I called you.' So I stand anxiously in the love and humbly in the truth that the voice said, 'I called you.'" Children, the Savior, children of the Savior, there's the world right outside their door. Go get them, because the voice said, "I called you." Spread the word with love and kindness and determination. Grasp the wind, be the oars, and treasure the journey together. And all God's children said,
amen.
Thank you.
Father Cass, you are a blessing. Thank you. Last week, I was having lunch with a local pastor friend, and he mentioned that he preaches about 49 to 50 Sundays out of the year, which is pretty much almost every